Skype of Cthulhu presents a Call of Cthulhu campaign. This is Our Home by Jim Phillips.
We are introduced to Peter Michael. He arrives in a van to the Hoffman Building, meets the manager, Mrs. Bach, and he is there because he is out. He's got a little probate. He's on probation and needs to stay here for a year. He's been given a job as a security guard at a nearby warehouse. His first person to greet him there is a young girl who comes up and gives him a bear hug and a piece of paper. And the manager says, "Oh, that's Carolina. She lives with her grandmother on the first floor," but that doesn't say very much. And these are all small, dingy, small rooms, but they're clean. So, you know, and over the course of the day, Peter meets some of the others who are there. He meets Kirk Griffin and Frank Romano, who both work at the warehouse. Takes a walk with Kevin Mazur, who's works with Marcia Donnell at a nearby bodega grocery store, and probably sees Mrs. Greer, who works at the gas station down the street, where they sell gas and small sundries like gum and magazines. It's probably a lot of cultural shock for him, sort of getting it through, but it beats being in jail. And at night, everybody goes to bed and has their own separate experiences. And at some point, Miss Janelle wakes up Mr. Mazur and says she sees a woman floating outside, and there's enough noise that the whole group starts getting together, and Mr. Kirk Griffin hears a noise in the room next door to him, and eventually they break down the door. In the center of that room is the body of the grandmother. She's wearing a nightgown. Her chest is cracked open. There's blood on the floor, as you'd expect, but also on the ceiling and the walls. In the corner, sort of quietly holding herself, is young Carolina.
Just so. And so we pick up there. You burst in the door, kicked in the door, and observing the tableau within.
Wasn't there a thing about a floating woman, too, off to the side somewhere?
So that's in the notes, yes, that's in the notes. It's our floating room. But then I thought in the course of conversation, maybe Janelle wasn't entirely sure about that story. So maybe Janelle can answer.
Sure. So I woke up, Marcia woke up and saw, Marcia lives on the fifth floor. She saw a lady outside of her window, not sitting on the ledge. And the lady was mouthing, like, "Come closer," or something like that. And or "Let me in," or "in." She was mouthing "in," and she wanted to come in. And Marcia grabbed a liquor bottle that she keeps under her bed for protection and ran downstairs and started knocking on the door to get her friend. And so she thought the lady was levitating out there. So what her story was is, "Hey, there's this lady. Let's go outside and see." And then they heard the scream.
Gotcha. And then everyone rushed down to that one room.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Jim, it's not that important now, but where did you send those little tidbits that we all had in our dream? I was looking for it, and I can't find it.
The little tidbits that you had in your dream was on audio. I did not send those in text.
Oh, that's right. We took turns. Okay.
Right. And people didn't put them in the notes, which is why I was sort of vague about what people saw.
Yeah. I was trying to recap. I know it wasn't. I know roughly what it was. It sounds like
if anyone needs a reminder, let me know and I will text you appropriately. As Carolina sobs quietly in the corner.
Yes. I'm not putting my Apple the notes. It's personal.
Okay. I'm going to run to Carolina. And because he knows no medicine whatsoever and therefore would be absolutely useless with the grandmother on the floor, and it doesn't look like there's much to be done for her anyway.
Are you running to her trying to avoid stepping in the blood on the
floor?
Yes,
yes. Well, as much as I can. I mean, you know.
Dex roll.
Oh. Play that kind of game. All right. No, that's a hard success.
Okay, yep. You weren't going to fall in it or, you know, step on the grandmother or anything. You managed to, dance around the large and continually spreading bloodstain. Yeah, leap over some of the protuberances and get to Carolina. She looks up at you. Her lips are kind of trembling. There are tears in her eyes.
I'm going to scoop her up. She's like 6 or something, right?
Yep.
And run back again to get her out of this room so that she's out of this horror scene.
Okay.
Want another dex roll?
Nope, that's fine.
And I will bring her outside the room and just, does anybody have a blanket, something we can wrap around her?
Is she there, Jim?
Oh no!
No, no. Okay, I will jump towards her and say, "Abuela, abuela, wake up! What's going on?"
Oh, wait. Sorry. Are you talking about the grandmother or the
girl? Yeah, which her? Let's be
the grandmother.
First aid roll.
Oh, me?
Yeah. Yes.
Hey, who's running this game?
What's going on? All right. Failure.
Okay. But yeah, she's dead. Find it. Maybe not kind of understanding the medical details of what has happened here. You know, there's a huge bunch of blood. Her chest is cracked open. Her ribs are sticking out. There's no way she's not dead.
I'm going to help with Carolina, just take her away from the scene. I'll see if I can take her hands if Mr. Griffin allows me to. I'll kind of take her hand and just lead her away. Say, come here, sugar. Come here, honey.
Marcia's looking for a phone to call the police.
There is absolutely a phone in here.
Okay, so I dial 911 if you said they had, you said they did have it by then. I don't know what year that came online. So ring, ring. So.
Mid month, 1927, 911 first came up.
It's been forever, huh?
Hello, what's your emergency?
Hi, we have a death in my building. I'm at, and I give the address. And there's been a terrible accident, and we've got a woman. She's torn open. She's torn open at the chest, and we've got a young girl here alone. So could you send?
I see. Can you confirm that address again, please?
Yeah, it's the so-and-so building, the Hoffman Building.
Oh, that is the Hoffman Building. Okay. Listen roll.
Okay. Oh, 98.
Okay, never mind. There's a pause. And then the operator comes back on the line. Yes, the police will be right there. Did you say someone was dead? You need an ambulance as well.
Yeah, they need to come for the body. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks.
Okay. Please stay in the area. And okay. Someone will be right there.
Okay. Thank you. And sure. So I'm going to get Kevin and see if he wants to come with me to look for the lady at the window. Or that's my friend, right, Kevin?
Yep.
Kevin, let's go see what that lady's up to outside of my window.
Absolutely. Let's go look.
Wow. I would love, now I'm going to talk to Kevin like all night long. That's awesome. We're on the second floor, right?
This is on the first floor.
Oh, great. Okay.
Hang on a second. Let me reorganize myself here just to make sure. Yes. I know where everyone is. Let's see. So Mr. Griffin and Ms. Greer have gone outside with Carolina. Or I'm sorry.
No,
I
I'm
was
not
assuming outside, not outside.
No, I'm in the hallway.
You're in the hallway.
I'm perfectly fine with Miss or Ms. Greer sort of scooping the kid away because, you know, female and child, that sort of makes some sense. But if that happens, then I will go into my room and try to get a blanket to wrap her up because
okay.
I don't even know how cold it is, but it feels like.
Yeah, it's September in New York, so it's definitely cool. Cooling, the fall is coming. Yeah. Yeah, you can certainly grab a blanket and hang out with Ms. Greer and Carolina in the hallway. So Mr. Mazur,
take her outside, like just outside the building, and maybe sit with her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Mr. Griffin gives her to you.
Like that. Perfect.
You take her outside. Mr. Griffin rejoins you with a blanket.
Perfect. Perfect. And then, I'll just kind of wrap her up and see if I can sit her in my lap somewhere or something. Okay.
Then a few minutes later, Mr. Mazur and Miss Janelle join you. Mr. Michael and Mr. Romero.
Mr. Michael will probably be heading down, he's heading down, seeing what's happening. And then he'll go outside because if they're calling for the police, he'll basically grab a coat, head back up briefly, grab a coat and go outside so he can basically help get the police where they need to be.
Okay. And Mr. Romero?
So Romero is a little bit afraid of the police because of his personal experience. So what he's going to do is look around, Jim, to see if I spot anything before the police arrives.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't be touching anything.
Sure.
Just spot and roll. Oh, no. 93.
Okay. A little too distracted by the grotesquely dead body on the floor.
Yeah. I'll cover it with whatever, you know. Probably on the table there's
there's a tablecloth on the kitchen table. There's a, you know, as you're looking around, what you do see, right? Let's talk about what you do see. Not like you're blind. and you probably have not seen inside the Roldan home before, the Roldan apartment. It's very much the same as your apartment, you know, same layout, you know, just a, you know, kind of this one living room, you know, little kitchen there, little bathroom there, you know, little bedroom kind of down, you know, little bedroom kind of over there. Okay. Very much the same layout, same size. The furniture is, you know, basically the same as you have, right? You know, it's kind of it's clean, it's intact, but it's definitely kind of, you know, low end, you know, inexpensive stuff. But for all that, the apartment is very cozy, right? There's, you know, some very clearly, you know, Latin Catholic icons on the wall. You know, there's some Afghans, you know, kind of, you know, laying across the sofa, some throw pillows. You know, you can kind of see in the kitchen on the refrigerator. There's, you know, some pieces of paper put up with magnets that are clearly child's drawings. You know, there's, you know, a kind of a stack of dolls and child toys in one corner of the living room. The apartment is very neat and clean and just kind of has a nice, cozy, homey sort of, you know, Latin grandmother vibe to it.
Feeling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Romero is more than familiar with that feeling, right? So he's kind of disappointed, I would say. Afraid as well. So he's going to, you know, cover her with something, close her eyes if they're open. And
they are.
Before I walk out of the place, and I'll take another look towards the window, maybe.
Okay, you can have a look out the window. There are some other, right? So you would all know this, of course. You are not the only tenants of the building. There are some additional tenants who are kind of filtering, you know, down. Hey, what's all the noise? What's going on? Oh my God, what's happened here? You know, somebody call the police. Yeah, they've already been called. And, you know, so there are some other people that are, you know, no one else other than now Mr. Romero is coming into the apartment. You know, some people are headed back, seeing what's going on and headed back upstairs. Some people are coming outside to kind of wait in the cold and, you know, are helping, in air quotes, let's say, fuss over Carolina a little bit, maybe. Let us go outside, though, to Ms. Janelle and Mr. Mazur. So, Ms. Janelle, you were going outside to look up.
Yes, so when I come out the front door, you said that I am on the wall, that my window would indeed be right under. Yes. That's that wall, one wall. Okay, yep. So, but there are already people outside the door, so I don't have to be cautious because there's already the kid and Trey who went outside, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm not like carefully looking out the door or something like that. I'm just, so... Marsha has her bottle in her hand and she comes out of the door and I look up to my window.
Okay. You see your window.
Okay. So come on, Kevin, let's see what's around the corner. And I go to the corner and I look down that whole side of the building.
Okay. You see the side of the building.
Nothing. Okay. I'm going to circle the whole building until I get to the front door again.
So you can't actually circle the whole building, right? Because the right. So again, the Hoffman building is right at the intersection, right? Right on the corner. So there are two sides that face the street. Then the side that the other two sides, right? That, you know, kind of, everywhere else they would be, you know, butted right up against another building, but the rest of this block has been demolished. It's a big construction site and is fenced off, so you can't actually get, you know, you can look, but you can't get there to circle the building. You know, you can see down both sides obviously from the street, but you can't circle the building unless you, you know, jump the fence or something.
I do everything I can of look, and then I go, Kevin, I saw her. She was outside of my window.
And she give me a spot hidden roll, Janelle.
What?
Why don't you give me a spot hidden roll?
Okay. I'm 16. Spot hidden. Oh, extreme success.
You are quite certain you do not see a lady floating, levitating in the air around any sides of the building.
Okay. Sorry, Kevin. You didn't wake up for nothing.
And you can hear sirens approaching. All of you can.
Okay. I'll go back. I'll wait on the police. Marsha waits on the police.
They will be here in just a moment. Is there anything anyone wanted to do in particular before the police arrive?
I'll have a quick look around. So because I remember from fourth story, I saw trees. Was trees tapping on my window? Was that correct?
If you say so.
He'll basically be going around just having a quick look and going, yeah, there's no trees near the building, which there wasn't.
Right. There are definitely are not. I think you're making that up. So yes, the police arrive. First one car and then a second. Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Before the police arrive, while I've got a blanket around the little girl, I will ask, what happened, dear? What happened?
She just looks at you. Those big brown eyes full of tears. Her lips kind of trembling. And then she just kind of buries her head into the blanket and into your shoulder or Ms. Greer's shoulder, whoever's holding her.
Ms. Greer's, yeah. All right, thank you.
Yeah, I'll look up. It's not the time. It's not the time right now with kind of one of those angry motherly looks. Well, maybe not angry motherly.
Oh, my God.
Or something like that, but yeah.
So the police show up, two police cars. Four policemen get out. One of them is wearing sergeant stripes. What's happened here? The dispatch said something about a murder.
Hi, Sergeant. Hi, Marsha Janelle. I called that in. If you just come this way, we'll show you the apartment. We awoke to a scream and ran down here and busted in the door and found this lady dead. So it's just in here.
No chance we recognize this person, this cop, is there?
You do not.
Good. Thank you.
So I bring the cop to the right apartment.
So you say, you know, yada, 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 murder, I called it in. The sergeant looks at you and says, which apartment is this?
I don't know the number. I just went there tonight for the first time. So let me bring you to it.
You would know the number. It's number two.
Okay. It's apartment two.
Okay, great. Please, everyone, stand back. Are you all residents of the Hoffman Building?
Yeah.
Okay.
We live here.
Great. The sergeant and one of the officers moves up to the entrance of the building. And they kind of stand there. The other two officers, kind of, the best way to say it is they kind of stand in such a way to corral all those of you who are outside away from the stoop. You can hear more sirens approaching. Listen rolls.
Nope. 004.
51. I don't think that's going to be a success. I'll check. Success. Normal success.
Those of you who succeeded, you hear, so the sergeant and the police officer who went up to the front door, You can hear the officer ask the sergeant, what are we waiting for? We need to go check it out, Sergeant. No, we're going to wait for the EMTs and we're going to wait for the lieutenant to get here. And you kind of stand around like this for a few minutes. An ambulance pulls up. Two EMTs get out. They take out a gurney. They kind of go up to the base of the stoop and look up at the sergeant. And the sergeant kind of, you know, gives them a hold on kind of motion. They kind of sigh, nod. A couple minutes later, a couple more police cars show up. More policemen get out. They kind of start cordoning off the area, you know, putting up tape and so forth around the entrance to the building. And a unmarked car pulls up. Man in a suit gets out. Ah, Lieutenant, we got a murder here. Yep, I heard. Okay. Which apartment? Number two, sir. Number two, they said. Okay. Yeah, let's go ahead and get in. See what's going on here. So the lieutenant, the sergeant, the first police officer, and the two EMTs head inside.
Quick question, Jim. How many people are stuck outside at the moment, outside of the apartments?
So in addition to what is now all of you, except for, I think, Mr. Romero, who's still inside, you're still in the apartment?
I think that Ms. Greer and I are still inside as well.
I am.
Oh, that's right. You're in the hallway, aren't you?
Yeah, no, I am, but I will go to the hallway. I'll go to the hallway as soon as I hear the sirens.
Okay.
Yeah, I was, though, Sean. I did want to take her outside just to kind of get her away a little bit. And, yeah.
So all of you plus three other residents who you recognize, well, at least most of you recognize, probably not Mr. Michael yet, plus three other residents. Mr. Romero's in the hallway. So Mr. Romero, as you're standing in the hallway, you know, you can see, you know, out the front door, you know, the sergeant and the police officer just kind of standing there, you know, not coming in, looking at you for a few minutes. And then they, along with the lieutenant and the two EMTs, come in. The lieutenant looks at you. Are you the one who discovered the body?
Well, I'm one of the few people that discovered the body. Yes, there were like five people when we heard screaming. And we opened the door and we found this. I just put a cover on top of her. Because she didn't deserve that. Such a nice.
Okay, why don't you go join the others? I'll come talk to you in a moment.
Okay. Yes, so sure.
The others outside.
I'll get out.
You get out. So those of you outside are just kind of, you see Mr. Romero come out, just kind of milling about. The police outside are, you know, definitely keeping an eye on you. You know, they're not letting you get too far.
Well, I'll sort of wander up to one of the police officers and go, can the women, the ladies at least go inside and get to their rooms? It's cold out here for them to be stuck out here.
Yeah, not until the lieutenant says so. We got some blankets in the cars here. We'll get some blankets out, and a couple of the police officers pop open their trunks and pull out some emergency blankets and distribute them to those who want them. A few minutes pass. A few more minutes pass. Maybe 15 minutes later, The two EMTs come out of the building, pushing their gurney. They carry it down the stairs. There is a body in a bag strapped to the gurney. You would assume there's a body in the body bag that's strapped to the gurney. Can't see it, but kind of seems obvious that's what that would be. They trundle it over to the ambulance, push the gurney inside, hop in, close the door, drive off. About 5 minutes later, the lieutenant comes back out. It looks like there's a little girl who lives in the apartment. Do you all, does anyone here know where she is?
Oh, she's from that apartment. No, I haven't seen her. Is she not?
Is he inside or outside?
He's outside. Fast talk roll. Because she's right next to you. So.
Oh, she. Oh, sorry. I didn't realize she was here. Sorry. No, that was player.
Okay. That's yeah. Fine.
No. Oh, no. Here. She's there. I'll sort of point. And I'll base it. Would be near her if she came from that apartment with the grand, and that was her grandmother who got
yes,
who died. So yeah, I would.
Okay. Officer, get on the radio. Get social services over here to take her right away, sir. He runs over to his car. You can see him grab the radio. I guess you can stay with you. Are you a friend of the family, Ms.? And he's looking at you, Ms. Greer, as you're holding Carolina.
Yes.
Okay. We'll have someone from social services here in a few minutes to take the child. Who here discovered the body? I was told there were a few of you.
Could you maybe talk about this somewhere else, officer? Once again, giving him my glare.
Or at least she could take the girl inside out of the cold.
We're not going inside right now.
No. Our social services will be here in just a moment. Don't worry about it, miss. Now, again, who discovered the body?
Okay,
you there. Sure, you said there were a few of you.
While he's asking these questions, I'm going to go ahead and get up and take kind of carry her off, giving him my... Twice the glare I gave to Kevin.
I will put my hand on Kevin Mazur's shoulder and say, Mr. Mazur here was broke down the door to get in there.
Hi. Okay. And about what time was that, sir?
Neither player nor, well, as a player, I don't know when it was. It was about a half hour ago.
Actually, as a character, you know exactly when it was. It was 3 and it was 3 a.m.
Oh. A few minutes past 3, yeah.
Yep.
Wow. Keepers suck up. Okay.
3, okay. Not that long ago then. About half an hour, okay. I'm sorry, you broke down the door? So the door was locked.
Yeah. We tried to open the door and it was locked, and we heard I was in the room next door, and I heard a scream come out from it, and other people came by, and Mr. Mazur put his shoulder right in and knocked it open.
Okay. I was going to ask why you were not breaking down someone's door at 3 o'clock in the morning. So you heard a scream.
Yeah.
And you felt that was sufficient justification for breaking into someone's apartment?
It was an incredible scream.
It was pretty bloodthirsty, sir. I hear what you're saying, but there was no way, and as you can see, it was justified by the state of the, and I will look around here to make sure Mrs. Greer isn't nearby, as I say, the state of the deceased there.
Okay. I see. Why don't you make a persuade roll?
Can I make a charm roll?
Sure.
Well, that's his thing. Although, let's see. I'm going to guess he passes persuade normally, and he has both of them are successes.
Okay. And did anyone go inside the room?
Yes.
Did the girl run out?
No. I went inside and grabbed the girl to get her out of that situation.
Yeah, me too. We were worried about the grandma of the child.
Did anyone touch the body or disturb anything?
I just closed her eyes and put a cover on top of her as you could see. That's all there was.
Ah, okay. So you didn't find her with that Afghan over her.
Oh no. I didn't want the little girl to see her grandma like that, so I put a cover.
But you didn't move. You didn't move the body in any way.
No, not a thing. Not a thing, sir. No.
Okay. Didn't persuade roll, Mr. Romero.
All right. This policeman is why I am here. It's this type of police. 09.
Okay.
It's a success.
So you heard a scream about 3 a.m. Came rushing down the stairs. This gentleman here, he looks at his notes, Mr. Mazur, broke in the door. And the grandmother was just laying there in the center of the room as you found her. Where was the little girl at this time?
She was over in the far corner. I made my way over to pick her up and get her out of there, you know, get her away from having to look at her grandmother's body. And that's, you may see footsteps in there. You can compare them against my shoes if that's something you're interested in.
Okay, we will definitely have a look at that. Thank you for your cooperation. I'm sorry, your name again was Mr. Griffin.
Kirk Griffin.
Kirk.
He says it like Griffin. You might know him.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yep. Yeah, I know who you are, Mr. Griffin. I recognize you. Okay.
Oh, unfortunately, he knows him that way.
Was there anyone else in the apartment? Did you see anyone else come out, or
just this group right here?
Okay. He kind of scratches his chin, looks over towards Ms. Greer, towards Carolina. A van pulls up. Two people get out, a man and a woman. They look to the lieutenant, and the lieutenant kind of points over towards Ms. Greer. That's the girl right there. Okay, thank you, lieutenant. And they come over to you, Ms. Greer. And one of them pulls out a little wallet thing and flashes a badge at you. Social services, we'll take the girl. This is... The other one kind of looks at his notebook. Carolina is the name. Do you happen to know the last name, or what's your last name, dear? She just kind of buries her head in Ms. Greer's shoulder.
It's Asuncion.
Asuncion. That's the grandmother. I'm sorry. What's the surname? What's the family Asuncion. Name?
That's the grandmother's name. Sorry. Right?
Yep.
Roldan.
Roldan. Okay, Carolina Roldan. Well, we'll take her. We'll take her, get her put to bed after this trauma. She can sleep for a little while, and we'll look after her. Thank you for taking care of her. And she reaches to take her away from you, Ms. Greer.
I will hold, as I just a moment, And I will hold her, and I'll kind of turn Carolina back to me real quick and say, okay, Carolina, like these folks are going to take you away for just a little bit, and they're going to take care of you, okay? Kind of looking her straight in the eye. You're going to be okay. They're going to give you a place to rest, and they're going to take care of you. I will see you again soon, I promise.
Give me a psychology roll, Ms. Greer.
If other people were near enough.
Sorry. To hear this, yes. But only Ms. Greer can make this psychology roll.
Okay.
I'm going to burn a lot of luck to get this because she's the only one who's really been nice to me since I've been here. So we'll make that a normal success.
Okay. As soon as the woman reached out for Carolina, you absolutely felt Carolina's grip on you tighten. And, you know, her head was kind of buried in your shoulder to begin with. You know, if anything, she burrows in even more. You know, you then give her that, you know, that spiel about, you know, go with them, safe, warm. You know, I'll see you soon. As soon as you know, once you kind of say that, you know, there's kind of a beat, and then her grip relaxes, and the woman takes her away from you without a fuss.
Okay. I will. There's two of them, right?
Yep.
Okay. As she takes one, as the lady takes her away, I'll take the arm of the other guy and kind of hold him back for a second to have a chat. Like, can you tell me where you're going to be taking her? I'd really like to see her again soon. I know you have your own procedures, but you can see she's been through a lot. It might help to have a familiar face.
Oh, certainly, certainly. The woman takes Carolina over to the van, rolls open the door, you know, steps inside with her, closes the door behind. Certainly. You can just call this number. He hands you a business card for the New York Child Protective Services. You know, there's an address in Manhattan, phone number, this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And
feel free to call anytime. I can't promise anything, but we have to look out for the best interests of the children of the child. That's our job. You don't need to worry about her. We'll take care of her. But if you want to check in, give that number a call, and we can tell you anything. If we think it's acceptable for the two of you to meet, we'll see what can be done.
As he starts to turn away from me, I will tighten my grip, and in my most intimidating voice, I will step close to him and I will say, you had better take care of that little girl.
Intimidate roll.
She got a little rough in jail, and that's a success.
He kind of looks at you. You needn't worry. You needn't worry. This is what we do every day. There are unfortunately far too many children in this city who need our help.
I am going to take it personally if she's not taken care of. You understand me?
Yes, I understand you. One of the other Jim. Police officers who was, just a second, who was kind of cordoning the group off, steps towards you. Is there a problem here? No, officer, no problem, no problem. The lady here was just expressing her concern for the child.
I will let my hand go and step back. Okay. And eyeball him as he walks away.
He walks towards the van. Mr. Romero, yes.
So as soon as I see this happening, I was kind of close by, and she walks away. I will get closer to them and to the child services people. I believe there was a man, right? The one who was talking to. Listen, is there a way for us to pay a visit to the child? She was very close to me, you know, as a good neighbor, and I don't want to lose sight of her.
No, I totally understand. I totally understand. As I said to your neighbor here, you're welcome to call anytime, and you know, please understand we have to do what is in the best interest of the child. But you are welcome to call anytime and ask how she is doing, and we'll go from there. We can't promise anything. Okay. Depends on what kind of environment the child needs and so forth. So here, I can give you one of their cards as well. He reaches into his jacket.
I'll take it.
Gives you the same business card that he gave Ms. Greer.
Okay. Thank you. Yes. I appreciate it.
He gets in the van and the van pulls away.
As the van pulls away, I will look. I'm not going to memorize the license plate, but I am going to look. Is it a state-issued license plate or is it a private license plate?
It is a state license plate.
Cool.
The same kind of license plate that's like on the police cars and so forth, yep. Right?
Mm-hmm.
No registration, the official kind of, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. This is
government vehicle.
Yep.
Okay, well, let's see. Is there anything? I will need all of your names. I have your address here. And he'll go around and take down all of your names. I assume none of you are going to withhold or lie about such things.
Of course not.
Okay. And after about another kind of 15, 20 minutes, as this is, you know, kind of going around, you know, the police take, you know, one by one, get back in their cars and drive away. And the lieutenant does too. And the sergeant and the officer that he was with are the last ones. And within half an hour, it's just you standing on the street. Your neighbors start to file back into the building.
I will approach the people I'm more familiar with, and maybe the few of us to work together. And let me see who they were. Michael. Michael, Peter, right here.
Yes. Yep.
This is all very strange. There's something I will never tell the police, but maybe I can share with you. You're the closest thing I have. No, Michael is the one that just got in. So who was it? It was Maser. It was Kevin Maser, the one that I met.
Yes.
And I know Griffin, so I will go to Griffin as well. Michael, Griffin, over here. So let me share with you something strange that happened before the screaming. I had a very bad nightmare. I woke up and I'm pretty sure there was someone in my room. And that's when I heard the screaming and was able to rush downstairs. I don't know if you believe in these type of things, but it might be that the building is cursed.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I haven't said anything, but when I first rocked up, got here this morning, the girl, she's going away. She gave me a piece of paper on it. was a picture of a group of us. And included me, there were six figures. On basically sunny day in the front of the building, six figures. And
but you were just coming in. How do you know it was you? She does that all the time, actually. She gave me one just like this, right, Jim? Like a little drawing. Was it just me, or was there six people as well?
So, just a thing. Gary, I just sent you a note.
Okay.
Randall, I am going to send you a note.
Okay.
I can find you. There you are.
Yeah, I had a feeling that was the case.
Randall, did you say that so that Marcia could hear it, or does Marcia not hear it, Randall?
Listen, I'm kind of shaken by this, so I'm not being very quiet about this building scarce business. I'm pretty loud about it.
You said she did hear it?
I would say yes. I'm very loud about it, so.
Okay.
There you go, Randall.
Hey, Frank. Right. I did see something really crazy before I heard the scream. I was sound asleep, and then I woke with a lady rapping at my window, and she was outside, and she was just in the air. It had to be a ghost because it couldn't be a real human. And so I don't know. There might be more to what you're saying.
You see, I'm not crazy. There might be something here in the building that is causing this bad eye. It's a curse. Because we're surrounded by bad people in this building. I said that aloud and shaking a little bit.
Well, look, basically, I mean, the picture that she drew for me, I don't know if you guys, it basically showed Frank, you, Marsha, myself, I think it may be Trey and Kevin and Kirk.
Let's compare pictures. Let me grab mine and we can compare both.
Mm-hmm.
I will rush.
I have one too. I'll go get it.
Oh, you have one too? Okay. We can all go to my small apartment if you want.
Yeah, I'll meet you there. What apartment number is it?
I'll give it to you.
Okay. And I go get my picture.
Mr. Yeah. Romero is on the third floor in number 9.
Number 9.
I'll head to get my picture as well.
Okay.
We'll meet you there. Let's let the others know as well.
Yeah.
So, guy door knocking on the other, like Kirk or Trey, and
I think we can assume that Mr. Mazur will join you since he's joined at the hip to Ms. Janelle for the moment. Ms. Greer, Mr. Griffin.
So, Trey didn't go inside right away, and as she hears them talking, she'll make note of the room number, but she's not going to go up there. She's going to go back to the Roldan's room.
Okay.
Is it taped off and everything?
Let's come back to you in a moment.
Okay.
Mr. Griffin?
So I would have not gone in right away. I instead would have brought out a pack of cigarettes and smoked and had a coin I moved through my hands, just sort of trying to take it all in. I also will listen in and hear where they're going to and give a little smile when Mr. Romero talks about all the bad people in the house, as if he wasn't one of them.
Are you willing to let Trey bum a cigarette while you're there?
Oh, no. If you came outside, he'd absolutely give her one.
Yeah, no, she was out there. You're the only one who came over to help with Carolina as well. So, yeah, she'll kind of bum one and just kind of stand next to you.
Yeah, no, you were right. I shouldn't have asked those kids. You shouldn't ask the kid the questions. You were right. That's for another day. I'm sorry.
Well, at least you show some concern for her, and she'll look at the others. She kind of flicks her ash out. She's had a really rough night.
Yeah.
Okay. So Mr. Mazur, Mr. Michael, Mr. Romero, Ms. Janelle, you head up to retrieve your pictures and then reconvene in Mr. Romero's apartment.
Yeah,
that's the plan. Yes.
Okay. And Ms. Greer, Mr. Griffin, the two of you stand outside for a few minutes having a cigarette. We'll come back to the two of you in a moment. So let us cut forward a few minutes as you all convene on Mr. Romero's apartment.
Okay. And I will pull out my drawing and put it right next to Michael.
I bring up mine and show you. Mine has...
Let's put the three together.
Yeah, mine has...
So as you're looking at them and Mr. Mazur's, all four of the drawings, they're not perfectly identical. Okay? They're clearly not copies or anything like that, right? They're all, you know, crayon on paper originals. but they are functionally the same. They all show a building that, as far as a child's crayon drawing can go, definitely looks like the Hoffman Building. You know, big yellow circle with streaks coming out of it, you know, the sun high above it, you know, green squiggles around, you know, green squiggles, like there's a big grass, you know, long, you know, a big grass area around it. And, you know, again, figures in crayon. And each of you can, you know, recognize, you know, there's stick figures in crayon done by a little girl, right? They're, that's kind of the extent of the rendering. But there's, you know, just enough there in terms of relative heights, in terms of, you know, hair color, you know, the kind of some streaks on the head for hair color, you know, or, you know, dots in the circle that's the head for eye color, that each of you can absolutely recognize that the six figures on Mr. Michael's drawing are clearly all six of you, the four of you plus Ms. Greer and Mr. Griffin. The only thing that is, you know, functionally different between any of the drawings is that every drawing other than Mr. Michael's is the only one that shows all six of you. The other drawings show fewer. So Mr. Mazur's drawing, sorry, let me make sure that's right. So Mr. Mazur's drawing shows Mr. Mazur and Mr. Griffin. Ms. Janelle's drawing shows Marcia, Kevin, or sorry. No, let me say this the other way. Yeah, so Kevin, Frank's drawing shows Frank, Trey, Kevin, and Kirk. Marcia's drawing shows Marcia, Frank, Trey, Kevin, and Kirk. And then Peter's drawing shows all six of you.
Could it be, looking at the different pictures, Could it be like the how we turned up? Like, you know, in terms of I was the last one to turn up, so it has all of us. So each one of those pictures, like when you turned up, who was here before you? Frank, or
what do you mean before me? Who was
out of the six of us?
Yeah. Oh,
because
that
could be like each one is adding another person.
As soon as we arrive to the place.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. Is that correct, Jim? When so, I got it.
So for the four of you that are there, mm-hmm. I will remind the four of you. So Kevin moved in. Kevin, you know, says, "Well, I moved in on the 29th, and there are two people in Kevin's drawing, Kevin and Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
Frank, you moved in on the 29th of August, and there are four people in yours. You, Trey, Kevin, and Kirk.
Okay.
Marcia moved in on the 12th of September. And her drawing clearly has everyone except Peter. And then Peter moved in on the 22nd of September and has all six. The 22nd being, you know, yesterday at this point.
Yeah, I see. I was, I moved in on August 29th. August 29th. Yeah. Right. Okay, so what you're saying makes sense. We were getting these pictures as soon as we got in, but I can tell you the following. I was not very close to the others on the drawing. Maybe I got closer later. This is strange that she knew. Right? It's like she knew. So kind of we're going to get together at some point. You, Michael, we kind of reached out to you when you got in, and, you know.
And I will, I'm not even going to make you roll for this, because absolutely Peter would remember this. She came off, when Peter first showed up, she came off the stoop and immediately handed him that drawing. She already had the drawing before Peter got there.
She gave me mine as soon as I moved in.
For the rest of you, you got your drawings, you know, within a couple days of moving in. But Peter got his the instant, basically, he stepped out of the police van.
Maybe she knew something was going to happen and she needed, I mean, literally, because that was the same day, that night, her grandmother died. I wonder if she's got any other drawings that were in the house, in the apartment.
Speaking of which, let us cut away from Mr. Romero's apartment, back outside to the smoking section. Ms. Greer, Mr. Griffin.
Yeah, no, I'm taking it in, but I guess if Trey heads over to the apartment, I will enjoy the camaraderie and go with her.
Okay. Were there, there was a whole forensics team in there. Am I right or wrong about that?
You are wrong about that.
Oh, there was no forensics team.
So the only people that you saw go in the apartment were the two EMTs, or even that you went, let me, bleh, 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 starting over. The only people that you saw go in the building were the two EMTs, the lieutenant, and the sergeant.
Now, personally, as a player, I've been lucky not to be around when someone has been murdered. But what TV and movies tell me is that when this thing happens, like a whole swarm, when a murder happens, a whole swarm of people show up and they start taking evidence and whatnot right away because if they come back later, you know, the evidence and stuff isn't as good. Now, is that, would I know that or not? Or
you would, you, Ms. Greer, would absolutely expect that, yes.
Okay. So I will look over to, I got to get your name right if we're going to be hanging out, Kurt. I'll look over to Kurt as we're outside the door and say, does it strike you as funny that nobody but the EMTs and the lieutenant went inside the room?
Yeah, no, I even guest starred in a TV police procedural and they did that. Is there tape on the door? You were cagey about that earlier.
So I will answer that in just a second. But one thing real quick, as you kind of mentioned that weirdness, Ms. Greer, it similarly strikes you as weird, and you do recall, of course, because it wasn't that long ago, the sergeant wouldn't even go in the building until the lieutenant showed up. Right? He very specifically, you know, I don't know if, I don't remember if you were one of the ones that overheard this, but some of the others would, some of the others did, you know, told the officer with him, no, we're waiting here outside for this, for the lieutenant. When you get in the hallway, you can see the door there. There is a single strip of police tape across the door at about chest height. You know, police do not enter, crime scene, do not enter, kind of thing. The door has been, how would one say it when the door doesn't actually close anymore? You know, but it's been pulled nearly shut, but can't actually be shut because, you know, the jam and everything is busted open.
Right, right.
It's ajar?
Slightly ajar?
Very slightly ajar, yes.
Yeah. I'm going to push through it, but before that, when Kurt makes that comment, I will about the TV show, I'll kind of give a little squint. Do I recognize him? Because I really haven't paid much attention to anybody at the apartment yet, kind of keeping to myself.
Why don't you give me a pop culture role?
Pop culture, yes. I saw him in that thing once. Generally. Oh, yeah, no worries. I was going to see if it was generally low or high. And with the 98, I think this guy's just showing off.
Just another white dude. Yep.
Just another white dude showing off, trying to impress me. Exactly. So I'll kind of squint at him a little bit, and then how was the tape even? Well, it's, when we say tape, it's just like a ribbon, but yes. How is it attached? Does it have a sticky side on each side, or is it just
thumbtacks?
Thumbtacks. I'm just gonna take it, and I'm gonna like swat one end of it down.
Well, no, wait. Just here, just reach your fingernails in, pull out the thumbtack. We can put it back when we're done.
I'm going to just swat it down. We can do that anyway.
Sub-party luck roll.
I'm down to 44.
You go right ahead and roll that, Sparky.
All righty. Sparky, 27, 16.
Okay, yep. Yeah, the thumbtack pulls out, the tape rips a little bit, you know, but the thumbtack doesn't go flying. You can still find it at some point if you want it.
Yeah. We can still find that on the way out. And I go ahead and just push it in with, you know, my offhand. I'm not going to touch the doorknob, but I'm not going to be too careful later on. And I'll stand there for a second after I turn the light on.
Okay.
Wait. Here, take this handkerchief. You don't just flick the switch. Your fingerprints will be on it.
You think they're coming back here to take a look? They would have
I
already
think
done
we're
that
all, I think we're all people here who have been in jail And if somebody says we got to find somebody who did this, I was said I was in the room, but you never did. I'm just trying to protect you, but you do what you need to do.
These jokers aren't coming back here. You saw the way they behave themselves. They don't care about anything. Actually, that brings up a good point. Do we think or do we know if the building, I guess tenement is the right word. I think you mentioned that somewhere. Is this full of ex-cons? Is that the way it works? Or is it just that's one of the type of people that the government just happens to place us here?
I don't believe any of you have had time to or inclination to meet with your neighbors to find out one way or the other.
Okay. Well, I will just say they don't care about people like us. They would have gone ahead and taken that stuff earlier. And I'll just flick the light, like I said, flick the lights on with my bare hands. And after a moment to adjust my eyes, step in.
Okay. Mr. Griffin, are you joining her?
Yeah, reluctantly, I will follow her in.
Okay. Let's get back to Mr. Romero's apartment.
Yep. So still wondering about if this cannot be a coincidence, right?
I think we should see if she's put in her room, if she's got any other pictures.
Yeah.
Because this got to lead to something. I mean, why is she drawing us before we get here? And why of us?
I agree. We need to find a little bit more. Hold on. Give me just one second. I'll go to the kitchen and get some kitchen gloves and passing around. I don't want to leave my fingerprints there. You know, the police has
issues with me. Yeah, well, we don't get blamed for it. I mean,
No. It's not because I'm here or because I went to jail. It's because of the reason I went to jail. They set me up. I'll tell you later about that. Let's focus on what is going on here.
Okay, I think Marsha, you going to come?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, use the gloves. Use the gloves.
Yep, I'll take gloves. Kevin? Kevin's sticking to Marsha like glue, isn't he? So
where Marsha goes, I go.
So, yeah.
Okay, the four of you put on your gloves, rock back down to the first floor, where you see the door to apartment number 2 is standing open. There is a bit of police tape about chest high, kind of hanging from a thumbtack on one side, and a thumbtack rolling around on the floor. And Ms. Greer and Mr. Griffin are inside.
Hey, we actually wanted to speak to you two as well.
Hey.
I'm watching Miss Greer to see what she does.
She's quiet.
She's very quiet.
She stands quiet.
Much more quiet than I would have expected.
Observing the
scene. Damn it. She's standing there for a moment looking very closely. Yeah, she just kind of doesn't turn around and rolls her eyes when a bunch of other people come dropping down. But she's going to start observing the scene, trying to figure out what could have caused that, you know, is there anything else? Because I think in the notes, it says the chest was ripped open, right?
That is correct.
So obviously that's not something that is easily done. So I want to look around and see if there's any signs of Actually, how do I think that might have been done? I mean, is that like a wild creature, which is what is in my mind, but would it be possible for a person to rip somebody's chest open like that? It doesn't seem likely to me.
Medicine roll.
Medicine roll. Jeez. Nope. No medicine roll. I will keep
natural
my
world.
Natural world. Oh, well. What is the base on natural world? That's 27.
10.
Probably not. 10, you said?
Yeah, yep, base
so
is
that's
10.
A fail as well.
Yep. You have no clue on either front.
Well, I certainly have assumptions. So, yeah, I'm going to start looking around to see if there are, like, scrabbles of, a creature or signs of a struggle or, you know, a window that's open or anything like that.
Spot hidden and track.
Spot hidden and track. Is this one roll for both or one roll after another?
One of each. One of each.
Okay. Spot hidden first is a 09, which sounds really good. I think it's an extreme success. It is. And track at 10%. Is a 95, which sounds about right.
Okay. So this is just for a general looking around from within the living room.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'm not afraid to be touching things right. If that helps.
Yeah. This isn't a full detailed search of every room. This is just standing there in the living room looking around.
Okay.
A couple things. So there's where she was laying, there's a large blood stain soaking into the shag carpet.
That is the one thing I'll avoid, by the way.
There are footprints all through it. And corresponding bloody footprints all around it.
Probably male. And the types of shoes that detectives wear and EMTs.
That would have been more on a track roll, but you can make whatever assumption you wish.
Well, yeah, I'll just assume that. But yeah.
What you see of the living room and kind of from here, what you can see, you can't really see into the bedroom, but you can certainly see into the kitchen. You know, everything is neat and tidy and organized. You know, there's no, upturned furniture or stuff thrown off shelves or broken dishes in the kitchen on the kitchen floor that you can see or anything like that. There is what looks to be a letter sitting on the kitchen table. Otherwise, that's kind of the only thing that's kind of, sitting out, by itself. The window in the living room, which looks out over the side street, the cross street, so not the front entrance, but looks out to the other street, is closed.
Okay. Is that what I get from standing there?
And you got a pretty good success. So the one other thing that I will give you for standing here looking around, especially for you, Ms. Greer, because you would definitely look over and think about Carolina, and that's where she was standing. Mm-hmm. Where Carolina was standing, there's no blood. Right. And there certainly wasn't any blood, splattered on Carolina. The pool of blood on the floor, is not all the way over to where she was. There isn't blood on the walls behind her. There's certainly blood splatter on some of the other walls, but the corner where she was is clean.
Yeah, that's kind of why I'm remembering that the blood was still pooling when we were in there. I would guess that still spreading and stuff. That's why I would guess that the footprints would have been afterwards. But I mean, does it look like there's like a circle around her or something where there's no blood, you know, and splatters all over, or is it just not quite gotten to her?
Not quite gotten to her.
Yeah, that's what I expect. Well, at least that's good. Okay, I will walk in, take the letter, and while I'm at it, just kind of check the window and see if it was forced or anything.
The window is closed and locked.
Okay, I will take a look at the letter.
So the letter is a letter. The letter head reads Hoffman Management. An address is given. 22 September 1976. Mrs. Roldan. We regret to inform you that as it has been now 6 months since Mr. Roldan passed away, we must evict you from the building. We will expect you to have vacated the apartment by 22 October 1976. Please contact our office if you have any questions or concerns. Signed, Ms. Ilse Bach.
So just for the any listeners that are out there, you heard right, that's a month away from when the letter was written, and it was dated yesterday.
That is correct.
Okay. You know, flip it back and forth and put it on the table.
Okay.
While Trey's doing that, I am going to glance around the room as well and maybe sort of look around. I think that something like that, there's got to be a gun around here somewhere. And so I'm just looking around. So I'm not just focusing in the living room because Trey's clearly got that. I'll look over at the little kitchen, maybe glance into the bedrooms. I'm also not doing a soup to nut search, but I am sort of poking around a bit.
Spot hidden roll, Mr. Griffin.
06.
Nice.
So you don't see a gun in the living room or the kitchen. In the kitchen, so there's the letter that Ms. Greer was just reading and has put back on the kitchen table. The kitchen table otherwise is very neat and orderly. There's a little, you know, napkin holder sitting there. There's a tablecloth, placemats. It's not set. There's no dirty dishes in the sink. You know, kind of it looks like everything is, you know, is clean and neat and tidy. There's no dishes on the counter or sink or anything like that. There are a few dishes drying in a dish rack on the counter. On the refrigerator, there are a handful of drawings that look, they're, you know, crayon on paper. Clearly the, you know, work of a young child.
All right. I mean, I'll glance at them just sort of to see if there's anything interesting about them.
They're pretty much, you know, you can, as you would guess, you know, they look similar in, a similar hand to the drawing that you have. You would certainly assume, and you don't see anything to dissuade you from this assumption, that they were done by Carolina. One of the drawings shows what you're guessing is the Hoffman building, because it looks very similar to the building that's in your drawing. Sun shining up above, grass all around it. with three figures next to the building, one of whom looks like a young girl, one of whom looks like an older woman, and one of whom looks like an older man. There's another drawing of that looks like it's a car on a street. And there's another drawing that looks like it's kind of just an open grass field. There's a young girl standing there, and there's something that could be a cat or a dog next to her.
I will point these out to Trey. Oh, look, she's got some more artwork here. Do you want to keep it? Maybe she wants to have it wherever she ends up going.
And the other four are totally watching this from the doorway, by the way.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, so wait there.
Here they come piling in.
I'll go in, now that the police is gone.
When you guys arrived, did she give you guys a picture as well?
I didn't get a picture. Says the character and the player knows that he has it stuck in his mirror upstairs and looks at it every night.
Everyone except Ms. Greer can make a psychology roll.
Nope, she sounds like she's telling the truth to me.
No.
I got a hard success.
Pass.
Bill.
I will let you interpret that as you choose.
Are you sure, I've got Ms. one.
You drew a little picture for me.
She did.
In response, real quick, before we get too far away from it, I keep forgetting your name. To
Kurt.
Yeah, I want to call him Kevin every time. But in response to Kurt's question, I will, I'll say, yeah, I think that's a good idea. I'll take the pictures, especially the one of the Carolina with the two older people next to her down.
Okay.
Isn't one of them the grandma just died? I'll take a closer look. Stand right next to her. Can I see it?
Tiny apartment with six people sort of crowded around trying not to step in the blood. Let me look at that.
Yeah, I'll kind of show it to him while I'm holding it, put it on top of the stack.
You see nothing to dissuade you from the belief that that could be her grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
I think this older one here must be her grandfather.
Probably, but what about the age of the girl? Is she Carol? She is for sure Carolina, right? But is the grandma old enough? Like, I want to see if maybe it's not Carolina, but her mom.
You see nothing to dissuade you from the belief that the young girl in the picture would be Carolina.
And it shows a cat.
Hair
or
color
dog.
And length and that kind of thing. So.
Okay. But
did you say the picture has a cat or dog or something like that, an animal?
One of them does, yes.
Does she have a cat? Or an animal? A pet? That's what I'm asking.
Seen one yet?
Looking around, is there a food bowl and that sort of stuff?
There is not.
Okay.
So, Jim, I just want to clear this out. Just want to make sure if the people, the older people on the picture right next to Carolina, are they younger than what they are supposed to be in that picture?
No, looking at it, you know, I mean, again, it's the, you know, crayon drawing of, you know, presumably of a 6-year-old.
Oh, it's a drawing. Okay.
You would totally believe that, you know, that what Mr. Michael said is true. That, yeah, that's Carolina, her grandmother, you know, and therefore that's probably her grandfather.
Yeah, got it. Yeah. All right. So I misunderstood. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right.
There's certainly nothing there that would suggest otherwise.
Okay, cool. So what about the car? What type of car is it?
It is a generic 70s sedan as interpreted through the eyes of a young child.
Mm-hmm. Well, what color did she paint it?
It is brown.
Brown. Okay.
Something okay. is strange. I mean, it's strange here because look, okay, Miss Greer, I know you're saying you didn't get a picture, but each one of us seems to have a picture that shows us and the people from this group before us. I've got all of you in my picture. And I literally got this picture when I rocked up today, this morning.
Yeah, but maybe there's a picture of you that was in the manager's office and she saw it. I mean, I my picture only has one person. That makes sense. I got it a couple days later. Maybe she just happened to, you know, I'm sure there's folders of us sitting in the manager's office. Sure, all of our dossiers are just sitting there.
But she doesn't get access to the manager's office.
No, we don't know what she gets access to. She's a little girl. She can go anywhere. She's cute as a button. Anyway, it's getting late. Gonna head off to bed. Night all.
Good night, Kirk.
Sure, it is getting late. Look, let's pick this up in the morning.
I don't need to. I can actually just want to go. I this doesn't make any sense, so I'll just say a little bit more.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, I've had a long day. I traveled here first of all and then literally went straight to work. So if you want to look around, just make sure you secure the tape and everything so that you don't get caught.
Thank you, Bachman. Yeah. We'll take care of it all.
Peter will just turn right. And head back out and head back to his place, his apartment.
Okay. I just want to go through the grandma belongings just to make sense of who they actually are, you know, like. See if there are pictures of Carolina mom or what else. Looking after the child, if she was actually her granddaughter.
But, okay. So everyone else other than Mr. Romero is packing it in for what's left of the night?
Not Trey. She's time for her to do a thorough hands-on this time, is avoiding the blood, like I said before. Okay.
So Ms. Greer and Mr. Romero are staying back to further search. Everyone else is packing it in for the night.
Although I will make sure the door is closed when the last one leaves.
Okay.
We may be too early for Marcia and Kevin, though. I don't know. Marcia, are you going to stay?
I'll go ahead and leave and go to bed.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'll go to bed, too. It's been a long day.
Okay, Frank. Oh, Frank, just one more thing. Do you mind telling me your life story?
I think you mean Kevin.
Kevin, what did I say? Frank? Yeah. Well, I don't care about Frank.
No, I'm too tired. Ask me tomorrow.
Okay. Can you tell me a joke?
I don't know any.
Okay.
Don't push it.
Okay. Everyone else goes to bed. Ms. Greer, Mr. Romero left in the apartment. Can I get the two of you to make constitution rolls, please?
Oh, we're tired.
This is...
That's a bus, mine is
a normal success, not quite a hard.
Okay, no problem. Yeah, you're definitely getting tired, right? It's
right,
you know, well after 4:30, closing in on 5 a.m by now.
Yeah.
The two of you can certainly make a additional search of the apartment, so spot hidden roll.
Okay.
Another great roll.
Mine is not a success.
Yeah. I'll spend 1 point making it an extreme success.
Okay. So, you know, between the two of you as you're searching, and Ms. Greer probably doing a slightly better job of it, you know, kind of as described earlier, this is very clearly, you know, the warm, cozy apartment of a Latin grandmother. You know, kind of, again, everything is very clean, very neat, very orderly. Things are put away. You know, dishes are stacked neatly in the cupboards. You know, silverware is, you know, stacked neatly in, you know, trays in the drawers. You know, the refrigerator is organized. There's, you know, it's certainly not overflowing, you know, with food, but, you know, it's, you know, far from bare. You know, there's meat and vegetables and, you know, a gallon of milk and kind of everything kind of neat and organized, you know, plenty of, you know, cans of food in the cupboards, you know, some frozen stuff in the freezer, this kind of thing. You know, the freezer is not over frozen, you know, it is, you know, properly defrosted and so forth. In the, you know, the living room, other than the blood stain, you know, again, kind of everything is neat and organized. You know, it's a, you know, low end, but, you know, clean and nice sofa. There's a couple Afghans kind of thrown over it. You know, some religious Catholic icons on the walls. In one corner, there is a stack of dolls and a few toys that, you know, look, or, you know, would be appropriate for a young girl. You know, again, they are all kind of neat and organized and, you know, arranged nicely. In the one bedroom, there is a single bed, and next to it, a small day bed. Both of the beds are made, and they are made quite nicely. You know, blankets are tucked in. There's a quilt on the small day bed. It's, you know, nicely tucked in and neat and organized. There's a wardrobe which has, you know, the kind of clothing, you know, dresses and blouses and so forth that you would expect a grandmotherly type to be wearing, as well as a selection of dresses appropriate for a young girl. There's a small vanity in the bedroom, you know, with a few very few pieces of makeup, you know, nothing over the top, muted colors and, you know, just a little bit of foundation, a little bit of blush, this kind of thing, a hairbrush, you know, the mirror. In one of the drawers of the vanity, you find a stack of papers. Amongst them is a certificate of adoption.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was looking for. Yeah.
showing the adoptive parents as being Asuncion and Juan Roldan. The child's name is given as Carolina Roldan. The birth parent information is blank. And the date on the adoption certificate is 1975.
What is it that you found?
With that extreme role success, could I tell if that drawer was disturbed at all? It sounds like everything is very neat.
It definitely was not.
Was not, yeah. I'll take that then.
And allow me to be slightly more specific. Sure. The date of the adoption is the 22nd of June, 1975.
Actually, there's no reason for. No, actually, yeah, I will take it because there might be something in case there's anything, any issues with child services. Seeing as I don't really trust any cops anymore.
Fair enough. And that's about it.
And I'll show Frank, you know, I'll be like, looks like she was adopted. I didn't know that.
Did yeah. you? No, I didn't. But I was just curious about this. Can you hear me all right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I hear an echo. All right, so Jim, just to make sure, I'll just take a look behind the all the pictures of that we got here, just to see if there's not like a double double cover in the back, see if they're hiding more papers and stuff like that.
There is not.
Okay, cool. All right. This is crazy. I'm telling you about that man that I saw in my room. Do you think something similar happened to them? Because it's very strange that it happened at the same time. Nothing strange happened to you?
No. I mean, I was just sleeping when I heard a scream. I didn't have anybody in my room. So you had someone in your room.
That's what he looked like. But when I turned the lights on, he was gone. A very tall man.
Very tall. Was your door locked?
Yes. Actually, when I jump off the bed, turn on the lights, and there's a way he could have gotten away from my room.
It doesn't look like anyone. I imagine I would have checked, since I checked the kitchen window, I would have checked the other ones as well, right? Or if there's a little door on the first floor, I think I would have checked that logically as well. Does that make sense?
So the only two windows, there's one in the living room and one in the bedroom.
Right.
They both overlook that other side street around the corner from the front entrance. Right. They are both closed and latched.
And no sliding door or anything?
Not that you found.
Okay. Well, I meant sliding glass door, which would have been obvious.
Oh, no.
Nope. Yeah. Okay. Well, it doesn't look like anyone could have gotten in here. Something got in here. I don't. Did we get that cop's name, that lieutenant?
No.
Nope. Okay. Said I don't. Something's off about those cops. I don't like it.
But I saw that they were behaving a little bit strange, but my experience with the law. You know, they do whatever they want.
Got that right.
They set me up. I went to jail. No reason.
It doesn't surprise me. Yeah. Doesn't surprise me at all.
I don't trust police. Listen, let's go to sleep, and tomorrow is going to be a new day, and maybe with a clear head we can see something that we're not seeing tonight.
I think you're right. Let's go. And I will, on the way out, you know, kind of close the door as best I can, and put the tape back up with the tack. If I have to put it in a different spot, that's fine.
Fair enough. As the two of you head back to your respective apartments for the night, I think this is a good place to end this session.